recorded live.
You're listening to the Geocaching Podcast, a podcast about everything geocaching, where you'll hear tips and tricks, interviews with cachers, and lots more. Well, welcome back to the show. Today's another Saturday, another 3 o'clock. That means it's time for the episode 6 of the Geocaching Podcast. Today, we're supposed to have an interview with IamFrog2002, but I don't know if that's going to happen because he said that his parents like to sometimes plan his schedule. And so he said that he had some stuff that got planned by him, his parents, today. So he may not make it on our show. He may make it on our show. We'll see. So if he shows up, we'll have an interview with him. If not, we'll go ahead and record it later. So that way I'll just record it off the air live, or not live, I'll record it. So that way we can listen to it later and bring it to you recorded, since it doesn't seem like our schedules ever seem to coincide when we can both be on the TalkCast at the same time. I'd like to welcome any new listeners today, and welcome back the returning listeners. Thanks. If this is not your first time, thanks for coming back. It's good to see you guys again. Good to hear you guys again. And also, if this is your first time, we do this TalkCast every Saturday, 3 p.m., so we'd like to see you join us again next Saturday. This show is aired live and recorded Saturdays, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. If you want to be on the show today, please call 724-444-7444, and the TalkCast ID is 7525. That TalkCast ID, again, is 7525. This week, I found out that a lot of geocachers and a lot of podcasters like to support each other, and so I've been in contact with a bunch of different podcasters, and so I've been in contact with the Cachemaniacs, the guys Daryl and Adrian over at Cachemaniacs. So they sent me something. They said that they're going to be having a new contest soon, so they sent me something to play for you. So I'm going to go ahead and play that for you, so just let's sit back and listen.
Hey, Geocaching Podcast listeners. I'm Firefly03 with Daryl W4 of the Cachemaniacs Podcast. We want to let you in a little early about a contest we're kicking off on April 7th.
We'll have a few really cool prizes for this contest, and all we can really say for now is that you'll want to get your best geocaching stories together as soon as you can. Just listen to episode 15 for information about the contest.
That show will also feature the interview we recorded with Sunny and Sandy of the Podcacher Podcast. You can find our show at cachemaniacs.com.
So once again, go ahead and go to cachemaniacs.com. They've given me a little bit of information on the contest, and it's going to be a really cool contest, and there's some really cool prizes. So again, cachemaniacs.com. That's just another podcast, geocaching podcast. So if you've never been there, go ahead and check them out. I enjoy listening to them. I get them every week, every Saturday. Their podcast comes into my iTunes. So on today's show, though, we're going to have some more terms from the Geocaching Wikipedia. Today is going to be the trade items and different things about trade items. So we're going to be doing that. We're going to also be reading a story from Garmin, actually, on their website. They talk a little bit about geocaching. It's really cool. They're what they have to say about geocaching. So I'm going to read that. And also, there may not be the interview with IamFrog, depending if he decides to show up. If he doesn't show up, though, we're going to talk a little bit about geocaching, land, how to be land friendly with the land managers. So let's get on with our show here. I want to remind you, too, that when you're on the road hunting down your geocaches, that don't forget to call 206-350-3GPS. In fact, go ahead right now. Go ahead. Seriously, that's fine. Go ahead and put it in your cell phones so that it'll be handy when you're on the road. And you can call in and you can have a good geocaching story, whether it be a first to find, whether it be a geocache that just eludes you for a while, whatever it may be, go ahead and put the number 206-350-3GPS in your cell phone right now so that you have it on the road when you're doing your geocaches. So after the interview, after the interview, I'm going to go ahead and open up the phone lines for questions. And if you have a question anytime during this podcast, go ahead and call up 724-444-7444, and the podcast ID is 7525, and just press the cue to talk, and I will get you on the show. So remember, this too is recorded live. So if you have any comments during the week, if you're not listening to this live, call 206-350-GPS. 3GPS. I'm sorry, I'm getting all tripped up today. Call 206-350-3GPS or email xpunkx1@gmail.com if you have any comments about this podcast. So let's get on with the geocaching Wikipedia, the trade items, and the terms there. This, remember, guys, this is for mainly the people who are new to geocaching, who may not know too much about geocaching. So the Wikipedia is just stuff that you may know already, you may not know, but it's aimed at the people who are new to geocaching. So with trade etiquette, it basically, the basic etiquette with trade items is take something and also leave something. If you, things that are left in a cache should be at least as valuable as the items that are taken. So if you take something from a McDonald's toy, like a McDonald's toy, you need to leave something like a McDonald's toy. Don't take a McDonald's toy and leave a piece of paper, or don't take a geocoin and leave a McDonald's toy. You want to trade up and trade even is the general rule. Just trade up and trade even, or trade even. Also, some themed caches may require that your trade items be of a certain theme. So I've seen one that was like an American theme items cache, and they wanted your trade items to be something of an American nature, whether that be an American flag, a dollar bill, something that has to do with America. So keep that in mind if you're going out to a cache that require, that's a themed cache. And usually they'll tell you that on the cache page. Usually it will say, hey, leave, you know, something that's whatever this theme is, so you know when you go out. There's also things that are called hitchhikers, or that are meant to move from cache to cache. Those who take hitchhikers from a cache are expected to leave them in another cache. They shouldn't keep them. Often hitchhikers will have a specific mission too, like we're going to travel from New York to travel to Florida, or we're going to try to rack up the most miles, or we're going to go to caches that are just starting with M, or we're going to go to caches that are only in Indiana. Things like that. Travel bugs are items that have a metal dog tag, and they can be tracked at geocaching.com. You can see where they're at. In fact, I have got one here that I own. Actually, my son owns it. So if you want to find it, the TB, which is the travel bug, its reference is TB19E47. Again, that's TB19E47. It's called Micah's birthday travel bug, and its goal is to go around to different caches that start with M, because my son's name is Micah, and so we thought that the caches should go around to, or the travel bug should go around to caches that start with M. So, and it's also supposed to get back to Goshen, Indiana, which is where I'm at, by his birthday this next year. You can read that all on the cache or on the travel bug page. The travel bug number again is TB19E47. So if you can, we would like it if you would put that in your watch list so you can watch that and get that back to us by Micah's birthday. He'd like it, and it'd be great because you guys would be geocaching podcast listeners and you'd be helping that along. Another thing that is offered as a trackable thing is trackable geocoins. These are minted coins that users go ahead and mint. So if I wanted to, I could go ahead and mint a geocoin or a lot of them, actually. And they have tracking numbers too, and they're also trackable at geocaching.com. And they're also not, just like the dog tags, are not trade items. They're items that are meant to be moved along, and they're not kept. They're supposed to be moved on so that they can get from cache to cache, and they may have a goal too. You don't see those too much. Well, you see them some, but not a whole lot as much as travel bugs, because people, when they get their geocoins, like to keep them. They're more like a collector's item. Some of the things that can be good trade items include fresh batteries, because it's never good to get out into the wilderness and have your batteries of your GPS expire, because you don't want to get lost somewhere in the woods. Another thing is inexpensive hiking or camping equipment, like single-use insect repellent or a skin cleanser, things like that. Another thing that you'll find is signature items. They were basically personal items made for or by a geocacher that has something to do with them or their name that would, you know, we're working on one right now for our family. Our family name is X Punk X and Jules, and we're working on a little wooden type coin that we can put in each geocache that we hit. Usually those are meant to stay in the cache. It's kind of as like a I was here type of a thing. Hey Netflix, thanks for joining us. I see you're on the TalkShoe Live client. We're just going through right now and we're talking about the different items and different types of trade items for geocaching. Some of the other things that can be included in our good trade items are foreign coins, seashells, inexpensive toys like from McDonald's or things like that, or trade show swag, freebies and stuff like that that you get at trade show. Some of the things that are prohibited in the geocaches that you don't want to place in the geocache are things that are illegal or edible or maybe even dangerous. Like you don't want to put firecrackers or food, stuff like that, because it's supposed to be a family-friendly type thing. No knives, things like that, weapons, anything like that. You want to generally keep those out of caches because so that it keeps the cache family-friendly. So that is our terms today from the Cache Wikipedia. Next up on our list, we are going to go ahead and the article from the geocaching Garmin style from Garmin's website. I ran across this week, found it really interesting, and thought that I would read it to you guys. So here it goes. It says, geocaching is a widely popular high-tech game of treasure hunting, and Garmin is at the forefront with its host of products to ensure you find the big cache. With the Garmin in hand and an appetite for adventure, you're sure to find hidden treasure and see the world. Whether it's finding the caches, moving hitchhikers, or travel bugs, locating the benchmarks, or more, Garmin has your unit. Garmin manufactures several lightweight, rugged, weatherproof GPS handholds, perfect for geocaching. These units have long battery life and have lots of waypoint storages. Some even come with built-in altimeters, compasses, map capabilities, and much more, which would obviously be good for our geocaching. And you can then it basically tells you a little bit about more about what geocaching is. It says, basically, geocaching is a high-tech version of treasure hunting. Geocachers seek out hidden treasures utilizing GPS coordinates posted on the internet by hiding the caches. Using a Garmin GPS unit, they can even trek into the backwoods or urban jungles and find the hiding spot of the cache. Once found, a cache may provide the visitor with a wide variety of rewards. If the visitor takes something out of the cache, they are asked to leave something in return. For some, the biggest reward is still the thrill of the search and the discovery of a cache place or a place that they've never seen before. And then they go into the basic rules of geocaching. They say, the growing outdoor sport has a simple set of rules, making it easy for anyone to play. The challenging part is finding the cache. Some caches have even been planted on mountainsides and underwater. I've personally seen one that's on a mountainside, and it was one of my favorite caches. If you check out our profile, XPunkX and Jules, you'll see we have listed. And then it says, once geocachers find a cache, they follow the basic rules. You fill out the logbook, you take something out of the cache, you put something in the cache, and return the cache to the exact position and condition that it was found. Caches typically consist of a weatherproof container discreetly placed on local terrain. The container will include a logbook and any number of more or less valuable items such as toys, books, money, jewelry, trinkets, etc. You never know what the people who have visited the cache or the person who planted it might have put in the cache and left for you to enjoy. Be sure to fill out the logbook with a date and the time you visit the cache. And then it goes into a little bit more about choosing your GPS unit. It says, you know, you want to make it lightweight and compact. It makes it easy to carry. You want it to be waterproof. That way, if you drop it in the river, you're not going to spend your money or waste your money with a dead GPS unit. You're going to want a GPS unit that has long battery life, because if you're in a long, hard, remote find cache, you don't want your batteries to go out like we just talked about in the trade items. You want it to have waypoint storages so that it will hold more cache locations so you don't have to manually put them in. You want screen readability. so that it's easy to read in daylight. That way, when you're out caching in the sun, you can see it. Some features that are helpful to have are the WAAS-enabled unit, which means that you get better accuracy. It's usually within 10 feet 95% of the time, but that also depends on who placed the cache and if theirs is the same. You want to have a would be nice to have a built-in compass. Comes in handy within 100 feet of the cache. An altimeter wouldn't be bad. Mapping capabilities and external antenna, which still gets you better reception, even especially in tree cover that are as heavy. And then it goes into a little more about finding the cache and what you need to do with that. I thought it was a pretty cool article. I mean, it seemed to push Garmin, well, of course, because it was on the Garmin website, but, you know, what do you expect? Because it's a Garmin article. But it was good, especially if you've never been on geocaching before and you're on the Garmin site looking for GPS that you might want to purchase. I thought it was a good article. It like I said, it was definitely pushing towards Garmin, but that's expected. So we also on our show today we want to talk a little bit about geocaching friendly land managers. And a land manager is basically someone where you're going to be putting your geocache, whether that's the park district or a private, you know, property, someone who owns the property. You want to get permission from them before you put your geocache on their land, for obvious reasons, because they, you know, it's their land, they own it. So what can we do to make and help land managers to be friendly to the geocaching sport? I came up with a few ideas. The first one is real, real obvious. It's basically just get permission. I know so often that I find that I don't, like, especially when I was new to the sport, I wouldn't get permission from the person who owns the cache or the land. Why do we need to do that? Why is it important to have land managers that know that you are placing the cache there? Well, a couple different reasons. Because, you know, if you're putting a box on their land of a cache, you're going to all increase the traffic to their land. You're going to increase the amount of people that are coming to their land, because there's a lot of people that do geocaching. So you definitely want to get their permission so they know it's there. And another good thing to help keep the land managers friendly is offer to clean up any geolitter, which obviously is going to happen. Stuff gets thrown on the ground when people go in and try and hunt out a geocache. So offer, as the cache owner, offer them to come in every so often and clean up anything that was left on the ground. So basically you're going to help clean up their land, which if I was a land manager, I would like that. So I would recommend doing that. So get permission from them first off, but when you're talking to them, offer to clean up any geolitter that may be placed on the ground because of your geocache. Because and also another thing to do is ask or explain to them how and what geocaching is. They may never have heard of geocaching before. So they may say, "Geo what?" So you want to let them know what geocaching is. So you want to explain to them that geocaching is basically a high-tech scavenger hunt. Nothing is going to be wrong with your land because I'm going to offer to clean up anything, tracks, or any stuff that people throw on the ground. And also, I'm getting your permission. And I think overall these three things would help keep land managers friendly and help increase our sport of geocaching. Definitely, definitely. One of the things that some people have a concern with as a land manager is because you are bringing people into this land more than was before, there's going to be more tracks. Like if you place it into a forest, you're going to have people wear a little spot down. So you may just offer also to the land manager, say, "Hey, look, I realize there may be a little trail, a geo trail as it's called in geocaching, that's going to get worn down from this geocache being there. So maybe every 6 months, I'll move my geocache to a different position, or I'll archive it after a year." So that way the land managers don't have to worry about tracks being permanently made into their land due to geocaching. So those are a couple of different things that I had and came up with this week about geocaching land-friendly managers. So like I said, it's important definitely just to get the permission. I know it's easy to just not do that. I know it's easy to skip around that, but then you have different things happen where people think it's a bomb and stuff like that. Whereas if the land manager knew it was there, they would know it's not a bomb. They would know it's not a meth lab. So I would definitely go out and get the permission, offer to clean up any geolitter, and explain how and what geocaching is. So those are the things that I would do to help promote geocaching land-friendly managers. So if you want to be on the show today, there'll be a few more minutes. I'm going to leave it open, 724-444-7444, and TalkCast ID is 7525. Obviously, we didn't get a chance to get I Am Frog 2002 to be on the show. He couldn't make it. I'm going to go ahead and try and contact him, and we'll have him on an upcoming show, either live or recorded. That way, you know, you guys can hear him. I know that we've had him scheduled twice to be on the show, but we will get him on the show sometime here soon. I'm going to go ahead and play that promotion from Cachemaniacs again for you, so you guys can get another reminder.
Hey, Geocaching Podcast listeners, I'm Firefly03 with Gerald W. Floor of the Cachemaniacs Podcast. We want to let you in a little early about a contest we're kicking off on April 7th.
We'll have a few really cool prizes for this contest, and all we can really say for now is that you'll want to get your best geocaching stories together as soon as you can. Just listen to episode 15 for information about the contest.
That show will also feature the interview we recorded with Sunny and Sandy of the Podcacher Podcast. You can find our show at cachemaniacs.com.
Well, thanks again for joining us today, guys. Remember to go to geocachingpodcast.blogspot.com for show notes and other links that were mentioned in this podcast today. If you have any comments or concerns or anything about today's show, email xpunkx1, that's xpunkx1 @gmail.com, or call 206-350-3GPS, that's 206-350-3477. That's just a voicemail number. You don't have to worry about connecting to us. You can call, leave your comments, your concerns, anything else. And also, you can call that and leave an opening liner. So, you know, like when we start the show, you can say, "Hi, this is so-and-so, and you're listening to the Geocaching Podcast." You can leave those things. Also, remember that this podcast is aired live 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Saturdays. So if you want to be a part of the show, if you're listening to this recorded, you want to be a part of the show, you want to talk to us, you want to get online, if you want to be interviewed for this podcast, on this podcast, definitely drop us a line. You can go to talkshoe.com, sign up for a free PIN number, and then email xpunkx1@gmail.com and drop us a note letting us know that you want to be interviewed, and we will get you on the show. So thanks again, guys. Go out there. It's a nice day to geocache, at least here in Indiana it is. So get out there, do some geocaching, hunt it up. And we will see you next Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Some of the music on the show today was provided by the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.